Have you ever just watched a ball fly through the air, that perfect curve it makes? Or maybe seen a kid on a swing, just going back and forth, motion forces. They're literally everywhere, all the time. We don't always stop to think about it, but they shape so much. So today, we're doing a deep dive. We're digging into some core ideas about dynamics, using our source material here to, well, give you a bit of a shortcut to understanding how stuff moves and interacts out there in the world.
Exactly. And what's really neat is how these ideas, these foundational principles behind motion and forces, they seem complex maybe, but they're built on some really elegant, simple concepts. We're going to unpack how these forces govern everything from, a simple throw to something more intricate.
Okay, let's do it. Let's unpack this, starting with projectiles, the parabolic motion stuff. I mean, how do things fly through the air, and why is their path so predictable?
Well, the really fascinating thing, and it catches people out sometimes, is how a projectile's motion breaks down in its horizontal movement, completely independent of its vertical movement, which is essentially free fall.
Wait, completely separate.
Completely. Think about this. If you fire a bullet perfectly horizontally and at the exact same instant drop another bullet straight down from the same height, ignoring air resistance, they hit the ground together.
No way. Seriously.
Seriously, that independence is key. The horizontal launch part doesn't affect the vertical free fall under gravity at all.
Wow. Okay. So it doesn't matter if it's launched flat, like horizontally, or sort of up at an angle,
No.
the dropping part is just dropping.
Precisely. Gravity handles the vertical part, pulling it down. Its horizontal speed just determines how far it travels before gravity brings it down.
And the how far bit, that's the range, right? The jitata.
That's it, yes. The range. Crucial concept, whether you're talking sports like a quarterback or something more complex like plotting a trajectory for, well, anything that flies.
Okay, from flying arcs, let's pivot. What about things that don't fly off straight? What keeps something moving in a circle? This is where it gets really interesting, I think. Circular motion.
Right, circular motion. With uniform circular motion, an object might be going at a constant speed, but its direction is always changing, always curving.
Okay.
And because velocity includes direction, if the direction is changing, the velocity is changing. That means there must be acceleration.
Ah, right. Even if the speed isn't changing.
Exactly. And this acceleration points inwards towards the center of the circle. We call it centripetal acceleration.
Centripetal, meaning center-seeking.
Precisely. And accelerations need forces, right? So there must be an inward pointing force causing it. That's the centripetal force. It could be tension in a string, gravity, friction, whatever is making it turn.
Okay, that makes sense, the inward pull. But why does it feel like you're being pushed outwards when you go around a corner fast in a car? Everyone talks about centrifugal force.
Yes, the classic centrifugal force question. It's a very common feeling, but technically there isn't a real outward force acting on you in that way.
Really, it sure feels like.
Oh, I know, but what you're feeling is inertia. Your body wants to keep going straight. The car, however, is turning inwards because of the friction between the tires and the road that's providing the centripetal force.
So the car turns into you.
Exactly. The car door pushes inwards on you, forcing you to follow the circular path. It feels like an outward push, but it's really the lack of a force letting you go straight, combined with the inward force from the car. It's an apparent force from your accelerating frame of reference.
Okay. That clarifies things.
Yeah.
And we measure this rotation using things like angular velocity, right?
Yeah.
And radians for angles.
Yes. Angular velocity tells us how fast it's rotating, and angular displacement, often in radians, tells us how far it's rotated. Useful ways to describe the motion itself.
Got it. So from circles, what about things that just go back and forth rhythmically, like a pendulum or a mass bobbing on a spring? This harmonic motion idea.
Right. Simple harmonic motion. You see it with a mass on a spring. You see it with a simple pendulum, for small swings at least. The key thing here is the oscillation, the repeating pattern. And what drives this pattern is a restoring force. It's a force that always tries to pull the object back to its central equilibrium position.
So for a spring, it's the springiness pulling or pushing back.
Exactly. And for a pendulum, it's gravity pulling the bob back down towards the lowest point of its swing. This restoring force is what causes the back and forth.
And each back and forth takes a certain amount of time, right? The period.
Correct. The period of oscillation, the time for one complete cycle. And for pendulums, there's something quite special called isochronism.
Isochronism.
Yeah, it means same time. For small angles, a pendulum's period doesn't really depend on how far it swings the amplitude. A small swing takes about the same time as a slightly larger swing.
Which is why they were so good for clocks.
Precisely. Made them excellent timekeepers. And of course, during this harmonic motion, the velocity and acceleration are constantly changing, speeding up, slowing down, changing direction, all governed by that restoring force and described by things like angular frequency or pulsazioni.
It's amazing how, well, predictable these different kinds of motion are once you know the principles. Projectiles, circles, oscillations. But how do scientists get so precise? There must be some powerful math involved.
Oh, absolutely. The precision comes from the tools we use to describe change. And that's really where calculus comes in. Concepts like velocity being the derivative of position.
The derivative.
Yeah. It sounds technical, but basically it lets us calculate the instantaneous rate of change. How fast is the position changing right now? How fast is the velocity changing right now? That's acceleration. Using derivatives gives us incredibly precise ways to model and predict these motions moment by moment. It's fundamental, not just theory. It's how we actually design and analyze things in the real world.
Wow. So we've gone from watching a ball fly to things spinning around to pendulums swinging, quite a range of motions today.
Yeah.
And it all comes down to these core ideas of dynamics, these forces, these principles, described so well by mathematics.
It really does. And you know, this deep dive, we've really only scratched the surface. Think about it. What other things do you see every day? A bouncing ball. A spinning top, a complex machine. How might these same fundamental ideas about motion and force explain those too? It's quite something, isn't it? That a few elegant rules can describe so much of the universe around us.
It really is. So hopefully next time you see something moving, whether it's, you know, a car turning or just leaves rustling, maybe you'll think about the physics at play. Keep looking at the world with that curiosity.